We advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets.
I am
Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with retard.
You say funny things.
Doing the math just now, it's like I've done 800 shots of whiskey probably.
Ooh, yeah, brother.
The clank ding, but we didn't start that till a little bit later.
Yeah, a little bit later.
No, we've always done it.
Doctor's like, you have non-alcoholic fatty liver.
I know.
Like, sure.
Yeah, I was telling my wife that like something happened, somebody had COVID, and then now they got some weird disease and they're gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I remember like Brent like had that fatty liver and he didn't even drink, but I lied.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it, but it's like three, it would be three, and they're not really shots. Next time we do that, we should pour in a shot glass. It's like half a shot.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
not a full shot.
I think you'd be,
not full
I think you'd be surprised. That's a wide glass.
Nah.
It's a wide glass.
I think so.
At least a shot.
It's a wide berth. Yeah. After berth.
And you, like nine of those every time we're here? It's a lot.
I don't do nine of those, though. It's on camera, bro. They saw it. Just one.
That's
I'm well, never not off
that's
camera.
That's just what
there's lies. Accountability.
You're always off camera.
In between episodes, I'm just smashing it.
Yeah.
Like
how long do we sit here?
It sounds like one of those.
We sit here for like 30 minutes.
One of those stand up Arrowhead jugs. You just hear the gluk, 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 gluk coming from his corner.
Just hear my liver cry.
Yeah. Uh huh.
My liver has been bothering me. I haven't been touching shit. I still eat edibles, but not alcohol. Like I haven't touched whiskey at home.
Yeah, because
forever.
like even at the studio, like me and Dave have taken one, maybe two drinks out of each bottle. Like, not even each bottle, just like one, maybe two.
That is true.
And there's a lot of empty bottles. There's a lot of empty bottles.
There's no empty bottles. There's like one empty bottle. Mm. No, we haven't burned any bottles. There's like maybe
we haven't burned.
And I can't
there's
even
a
tell.
Lot of like half empty bottles.
Oh, it's like there's one donut left in every box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not empty, but there's like this much left because you don't want to drink the last drink.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
I did this myself. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I just made the happy discovery that happens to me once a year when I just am shopping.
Dave found his dick again.
Yeah. When I'm shopping and I don't know that it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, right.
Until I get to the whiskey aisle and everything is like half off. And I'm like, well, son of a bitch.
Oh, is that when it's on sale?
Yeah. Like specifically Irish whiskeys,
right?
Like bottles of Jameson that are normally like $35 were like $17.
Oh, really?
Like, oh yeah. I kind of stocked up a little bit.
Where are they at?
Up there? One on the counter.
Up there. There's one over there. There's that one's older.
I mean, if anyone's got some drinking, it's actually Dave. Dave, like, there's some bottles that come and
go
in here.
Yeah, some bottles in there.
If you had the Blade Runner glasses, you'd drink too.
No, you can't help it.
You can't. They make you drink.
Mm-hmm.
I have a drink every night. It's part of my ritual.
Hmm. Like, how many fingers?
I should.
Probably two fingers.
That's it?
I have like a healthy pour.
It's not that much.
Yeah, I got.
Yeah, I went through a little. I went through a little bout of Michelob Ultras. Where I was like, because I was cooking steaks, I was like, these are 2.6 carbs. But then I was like, I don't want to start this habit. Like, it's going to stop this shit. So I quit that. Back to just peanut butter. Actually, I'm on cashew butter right now.
Yeah. Mm. It's hard for me to drink a lot of
cashew out back.
Cashew outside, fool. That's going to be the name of our butter.
Cashew outside.
Yeah. Cashew outside, fool.
I like Outback better.
Cashew Outback.
That's Australian.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to cashew down.
Cashew Outback. That's the one we sell in Australia. It's like $45 a jar.
Yeah. Plus they don't make walnut ones.
Maybe more than that. Cashew butter is already expensive.
No, they're laurels.
Yeah, laurel. Yeah.
Laurel butter.
Yeah, laurel
butter.
Yeah.
Wallaby nuts butter.
Mm-hmm. Wallaby nuts.
That's just fucking kind of a clever name for peanut butter in Australia. Wallaby nuts.
Wallaby nuts.
Yeah. It like rolls off your tongue. It's like mocha padaya.
I just don't think I think we're the peanut butter like fluke of the world.
I mean, no one else eats
peanut butter. I always watch all these fucking TikTok and Instagram videos where it's like people are like, oh, I'm going to try a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the first time. And it's like for the first fucking time, you're a grown ass man. You've never had a peanut butter. And they always ruin it. They get this weird bread and they butter both slices.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Put peanut. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
And it's like some shit jelly too.
Yeah, it's like some weird razzleberry, you know, and it's like
something
no.
that's like super
Shireberry.
Yeah, you Shire need some berry. Fucking shitty ass Welch's grape or strawberry, some fucking Jif, and some fucking Wonder
Bread. But it's just
bread.
Like
I like how you wanted him to take it down. It
was what the fuck? To. This is not. You can't get this is not indicative of what we eat.
Yeah. You get like a grandma's raspberry jam,
Smucker's boysenberry. You know what I mean? Like or some shit. You know, like that's all you need. Just some regular old shit. Red raspberry. Fucking Smuckers.
I know you guys don't like orange marmalade, but damn, I like it.
Negative. I don't mind orange marmalade. I don't like it with peanut butter.
No.
I'll eat it with peanut butter.
No, that's I don't like orange. Abomination.
Like, I can eat a good, like a good orange. You know what I mean? Like a tangerine, you know, like a small one.
Oh, I love, citrus. I love
something
citrus.
That's tart, you know, sweet but tart, but just orange. Yeah, it's not, it doesn't do it for me. I like orange juice.
I need to come up with a contest and send somebody
you don't
some
like tangerines?
Fucking.
No, tangerines are gross.
Just tambourines.
What?
Yeah, they're fucking gross.
Just too sour for
like,
you?
What about tangerines?
No, they taste exactly like when I eat a tangerine.
Like kids vitamins.
All I think is that I'm drinking Tang.
Oh, nah.
It's different.
It is different.
But that's all that my
that's
brain
what it gives
registers.
You,
dude, I would eat tangerines till I get a stomachache for sure.
I
fucking
tangerines.
Love them bitches. Yeah.
I like the
vitamin
tangelos.
C overdose.
The tangelos are good.
I get the opposite of scurvy. It's swervy. I drink so many tangerines, I get drunk.
I don't eat very many oranges, but my sister, her neighbor has two orange trees in her backyard. And there's always a point at about this time of year, probably a couple of weeks ago, where they just cull all of their oranges. Yeah. And I go over to my sister's house and they have their two green bins are just full of oranges.
Yeah.
And they're ripe, perfect oranges. And that guy's orange trees are so fucking good. And I just end up taking two giant bags full of oranges and come home and go to town.
My neighbor always brings, he has an orange tree. And he'll bring me oranges, and they're good, but I can't eat that many. Like, he'll bring me a fucking bag with 30.
That's the problem.
It's like, fuck,
that's
man. Like, what am I going to do with all these?
Because I used to do it, and then I would make orange juice.
I got an ad for electronics fucking water-cooled laptops.
That's right.
Of course you
said that shit.
You need that.
Of course you
did. I said that out loud, and they sent me a fucking ad.
Fuck
yeah. Motherfuckers, leave me alone.
With that fake Bezos. Look at that fake Bezos.
That is fake Bezos. I think Bezos. Actual Bezos is fake Bezos.
Yeah, probably is. Yeah. Bezos is underground in a bunker.
You know, it's funny. And that's why I was saying, you know, there's no cure to baldness because Jeff Bezos is still bald.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He would have
I take that back. I don't think he lives underground in a bunker. I think he lives in a space station because he'll live longer with no gravity.
He might just be rocking though. Maybe he's in the public eye too much to have like the period where he has to grow that fuzz
like
back.
Because
Musk did it. Like that motherfucker. You see old pictures of him. Yeah. He was bald.
He was.
He's got hair, and his hairline doesn't look weird. It's not Trumpy or anything. It's fucking.
Yeah, no,
good.
He killed. He killed a baby for that hair.
For sure.
Like small Korean boy scalp.
Chinese. Yeah, like they wanted. What were they taking from the foreskin from the Korean babies?
There's a little.
There's a little whole baby.
There's a little ball-headed Korean baby running around out there. He's never going to grow hair.
Yeah, got bad Elon Musk hair.
Yeah,
you know.
But his dad's driving a Tesla.
Yeah, baby's like got battery backups. You know.
Someone sent me a video, and it was a fucking. It was like I think it was L.A. Like at the fucking port, they had one of those sea train things.
Oh full of babies. Or just the full skin.
It was full of babies, dude.
Oh yeah, people want babies.
But it was parts of babies. It was like the disposal. It was like it was like an abortion sea train.
Yeah.
It was just the I don't know why. Like they said that they had quit paying their storage fee or something, so you need to go pick up the thing. Like the
they said, fuck them kids,
and they just left it like there, empty or full of that.
Yeah,
and the guy like was. Puking and crying and upset. Yeah, it was fucked.
They weren't like
terrible
in chests
thing.
Or anything like packaged.
They didn't show it. They just said it was just parts, dude. It was fucking rough.
Just parts.
Wow. A boatload of parts.
It's terrible.
Huh. That's weird. Why would you not?
I don't know.
What were you doing with it? what was going on there?
I'm not sure. I mean, it was like a clinic or some sort, and they're supposed to dispose of it properly, but they're like, oh, just keep putting it in.
I heard,
thing.
I mean, there was a...
You can't just they were opening the door and chucking bags in there. Yeah. They had to be just swinging bags and like, you know what I mean?
Jesus.
How would you put it in the sea train? It's a front door. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's two big-ass doors. Yeah, you know how those open?
Yeah.
They had to just be stacking them in there. Yeah. Someone did at some point. It didn't just go like all in at once.
What's the clinic? The fucking clinic that got in trouble? The abortion clinic place?
Planned Parenthood or something?
Yeah, Planned Parenthood. They're supposedly like, I don't know, like that's what's been heard, is that they're like in like selling body parts, like the abortion babies parts and stuff, you know, the aborted like late abortions and stuff.
I don't know a lot of proof on that.
No, I'm not saying like it's proven. I'm just saying like somebody had said, like that's been being said, like they've been being accused of that. So I wonder if that's like something that had to do with them, or they're just like throwing babies away, like, you know, where are you getting them from? You got a fucking collection going on. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe it's like it's a cloning operation. Maybe they're trying to clone babies and they're like, not going.
Yeah,
so
that one's
got
three arms.
Nope. Sorry. Yeah. Next.
I mean, but three arms might be good.
Might be good.
Yeah. You can like cook while you're masturbating. Yeah.
You can just be cloning all the babies with no heads or brains.
That's true.
I thought about earlier today, if I had an opposable thumb on my cock, the extra things I could do.
That's what I'm saying. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could stir the pasta while you're while you're playing like Bedazzle, fucking whatever it is. Not Bedazzle. What's that shit called? Bejeweled?
I mean, that's what makes monkeys like have a little bit more, you know, they can grip better, is just
with
the
their
thumb,
feet and stuff.
Know?
Yeah.
Just
so
like,
if your dick had an opposable thumb,
now it's not just worthless. You know,
that's a shocker deluxe, bro.
Wouldn't you rather just have like sophisticated monkey feet than a dick on your thumb?
Well, you can have a
thumb
monkey
on your
foot.
Dick.
What if you had a monkey foot on your dick?
That's too much.
Is it?
Yeah. Not getting away. A thumb, you could do some shit.
That was overboard.
What kind of monkey are you picturing? I'm picturing like a good size, like a chimp, like a good size chimp foot.
Sure. Why not? Just saying.
Like a baby chimp foot?
No, like he said, full size.
Like
chimp
for
foot.
Our feet.
Yeah.
Like get a sophisticated, get a sophisticated
like
monkey
a size 12
foot.
Oh, you're saying put the chimp foot
on my
foot. So you got a size 12.
Then I can do some good
size
shit
13
with my feet.
Chimp
fuck
foot.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, so instead of your big toe, it's like an opposable fucking grab shit.
Instead of having a thumb.
Man,
on
think
my
about it. Like you're
Dave
about
just
to get
quietly
a fight.
Puts a cigar in his dude. Mouth with his foot. Like,
yeah. You're about to get in a fight and you just choke a motherfucker
with
your foot. Like you grab him with the foot and then you still got your arms available.
Yep.
This is fucking, I like this.
You're lighting the cigar and all of a sudden your foot comes up and grabs grabs the match and shakes it out in front of the guy. He's like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You'd never even need to get in a fight. Just take your shoes off and have your feet crack their knuckles.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, god damn.
Yeah, ground game is
I'm
just
out of here.
Point. Yeah.
I'd like to counter with, if I had an opposable thumb on my cock and I pulled that out and showed you, I don't think I'd get in a fight either.
I don't know. It just depends on who
you might get murdered.
Yeah,
like someone might react. They might just pull a gun and murder you as the monster that you are. Quaid.
The monkey feet are okay, like they're fightable, but the thumb cock, Alfred Thumbcock over here.
I'm telling you,
shot.
Think of the things you could do.
I don't think you would go straight to cooking.
No, he would not at all.
I was trying to keep it PG. I was just trying to keep it PG.
Yeah.
Well, right, I mean, the thing is, you should have been like, you could play Bejeweled with your
Bejeweled. That's what it's called.
You can play Bejeweled with your cock and thumb while you cook with your hands. Because I don't want my junk exposed next to boiling pasta water.
It's a risk you gotta take if you want to play Bejeweled with your Albert Thumbcock.
What's Bejeweled? The app.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, so you can play a phone
Candy
game,
Crush.
Yeah.
Candy Crush. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, to each his own, you know. So
just
Dave,
doesn't seem like it'd be enough either.
I mean, this fits though. Hold on though.
I mean,
it
couldn't do that much. Cooking.
Hold on. I feel like so now Brent has an opposable thumb on his dick. Dave's got monkey feet. Uh-huh. Like I have to have something.
Yeah, you
got to
walk away with something.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I also have an eagle womb.
Well, we know that. Yeah.
We're forming the Revengers.
Yeah, the eagle womb. Yeah. The Revengers.
Your best move, Brent, is that you could like take your pants down and do a pop. Yeah. you got the thumb gun with you.
Yeah, depends on if you put on top or bottom. What's better?
You could dress that up like
probably
cactus.
Top, because you could fool them. Like, you could have your thumb just stick out of your crotch and like, wait a minute, because that trick how you stick your thumb out your zipper
and make them
think it's like a little wiener.
Yeah.
I could do that with my thumb cock. Right. And then they're like, but your hands are right there. How Ta-da. Are you doing that?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That would trip some people out.
You need to
out.
Hurry up and get a mutation.
Yeah, I don't know what my mutation
those monkey
would be.
Feet are going to be good.
Yeah. I don't know that mine would be visible. I'd want to jump real high.
What?
I need marsupial from Fallout. That's what I need.
So you want like kangaroo legs?
I say a kangaroo tail that helps you balance.
He could fuck somebody up with kangaroo.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
So you could kick him. You could like double foot kick him. Yeah. Just be on your tail.
I'm down with that. I'll take the kangaroo tail.
Nobody'd see that shit coming in jiu-jitsu.
No.
What kind of pants do you wear though? So you have to fucking one fat leg? Back, yeah.
Three legs. Yeah. Start to call them tripod.
Yeah.
Oh, you could put it up your back maybe though.
I don't know that it would have been like that.
Yeah, it's kind of bent in the wrong way.
Yeah. It's pretty thick.
I don't think you could hide it. That's the other problem. You can
that's
hide
what I'm saying. It's just going to be.
If you just if
there.
You constantly wore like really loose, like Chinese gi pants, you could just have it tucked down one of your legs.
I don't know that it's going to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Is it worth the rest of your life? Like the opposable thumb on my cock wouldn't get that. Yeah. If monkey you get some feet, shoes on them up. Feet.
Yeah, you're right.
You might need to switch it up. Right. I don't know if the kangaroo tail is going to be the thing.
It's not going to work out.
Yeah, and it's not going to give you your goal of jumping high.
Yeah.
What if you had an opposable cock on your thumb?
That'd be weird.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Dave's looking in the glass over there. He's all, oh, man.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the future. I wasn't looking at anything. I was just imagining.
I might have to come around to this later. It's not something you could just
choose. No, you don't want to rush in.
Spur of the moment.
You don't want to rush in.
Yeah, Brent's been thinking about this for a long time. I know. Yeah.
Since this morning. Yeah. Since this morning, yeah.
You can't rush these things, you know?
And the monkey feet is just, that's just natural. Like,
I mean, well, you came to that conclusion with why wouldn't you just want that? Because that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. And I get that.
What about a prehensile monkey tail?
I don't think the tail is.
But the monkey tail is small enough that you could totally just coil it up and
they hang on shit.
Yeah. You could hang on shit. You could brachiate.
It doesn't appeal to me though.
You can't brachiate very well right now.
I know.
What's brachiate?
Swing limb to limb.
Ooh, that'd be a tough tail to be holding Brad up fucking from
It's got to be a big tree.
That's going to stretch your butthole out. You try hanging from your tail like that. You get fucking sore taint from that.
You got a strong tail.
Yeah.
Well, it might be part of it. He might get a bulletproof taint as part of it. So when we're fighting as the Revengers and Hydra's attacking, he just spreads his legs and blocks all the bullets with his taint.
That's true. Like Homer Simpson and the bowling ball. The cannon.
And even though you founded the Revengers with your penis thumb, I'm not sure that you're going to be very good on the team. Yeah, the two of us can brachiate.
Yeah. That's true with your feet.
Yeah.
I can hang on some shit with my thumb.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. You'd be like hump brachiate.
Yeah.
My back's just arched. I'm just laying upside down. I'm like, look, hard. I can hold it. Let's fucking drop. Thump.
Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's a good comic book.
So, our hot sack of the week.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is brought to you by El Yucateco Hot Sauce. If you've been a longtime listener of the show, then you know about El Yucateco. And if you're a longtime listener of the show and you haven't tried their new wave of flavors, the fuck's wrong with you? Shit's delicious.
It is great.
Well, we know what's wrong with them. They're listening to the show.
Oh, true. But you need to go get the new
coffee habanero. Where it's at.
Chiltepin. Habanero.
All about the chiltepin. Still am.
Chiltepin.
Put it on fucking everything.
That shit is good.
So good.
I've been out of it for a while though, and like the refill one I grabbed was
the habanero. Those flavors have a novelty to them.
But I like it.
Yeah, just stick with the classic black.
Classic black is just good, dude.
I'm still triple X.
Yeah, I can't blame
all the
can't
way.
Blame you.
But like I've enjoyed the little vacation I've taken to coffee habanero.
They got novelty.
The chiltepin is just it's the best hot sauce I've ever had, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going that far?
Yes, I am. I put it on just
did I put that bacon. The chiltepin pepper grinder that the fucking fish is in. Mm-hmm. I grind the shit on my steaks. It's
what if the chiltepin had an opposable thumb?
Mm-hmm. It is it does say peen.
It does have peen in it. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't know. Like, it's a very small pepper, so it'd be a very small
thumb.
Instead
of the lid, though, just the bottle just has a thumb that closes it.
Oh, yeah. A self-closing thumb bottle.
Thumb bottle.
Yeah. But we give out a hot sack brought to you by El Yucateco that comes with swag and possibly a flavor. And this week it goes to Julian from Reddit, who posted, guess where?
On Reddit?
Facebook.
On Reddit.
Oh, I was wrong.
That's actually their name is Julian from Reddit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Post.
That'd have been funny if it was on Facebook.
That would be funny. Yeah, Julian from Reddit. Reddit, yeah. And they posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
But they posted, could be a he. Julian could be a she. I don't know. Julian is a neutral name.
Julian. No, it's a guy.
I think it's a guy.
I think it's a guy too.
I think it's a guy that just
gendered them. We gendered
did.
The fuck.
Yeah, we do. It's okay.
Sight unseen.
It's okay. We don't even need it. Judge a book by its cover. Where's it at? Show me the book.
But they ate Colombian empanadas.
Oh yeah, those look good.
One had black, one had jalapeno, and one had chipotle.
Those are short for empanadas.
Yeah. Empanadas are just Mexican Hot Pockets. Yeah. Let's be
basically,
honest.
Well, they empathize for the Hot Pockets.
Yeah. Love a good empanada.
Colombian Hot Pockets.
But they hit it with Teco. Looked very good. So thank you for the post.
Maddox and Berkeley swear those taconadas from fucking grade school are like the best things in the world. I keep not bringing myself to buy them.
No.
It's like an empanada, like in a fucking bag.
Don't do it.
They have a couple things that they're like, did you ever have the chicken sandwiches? Not the gray meat ones, but the red chicken sandwiches. Like, not the ones that were gross and like,
Something that probably doesn't taste what I remember it like, but the fucking turkey gravy on the mashed potatoes.
No, I remember eating
school,
that.
Dude. Fuck. Yep.
With the roll.
My kids, though, they still say it's good.
Yeah. No, I remember that being good. I do remember the chicken sandwiches being good. I fucking love school.
You remember
that
piece
sandwiches.
Of pizza that just had two pepperonis on, like a giant domino?
No, shit.
In Michigan, or French it might be bread. That I'm a little older than you, one of the two, my pizzas in school were one square piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it had cubed pepperoni.
Oh.
That sounds familiar.
And it was just a sprinkling of cubed pepperoni that was always like super crispy. And it was just, you could just roll it up and squeeze grease out of it. Yeah.
No wonder you're vegan. Fuck, that sounds terrible.
That shit was good. But there was a special flavor to it where you're like, it's not like regular pizza. It was like some school cafeteria.
No, it was definitely.
I had French bread pizza. That was mine.
I remember like, that. Fuck, what is up with French bread pizza? Fucking roasting the top of your mouth, though.
Oh, dude. There's
something special.
Yeah, I don't know.
About the way it works. It's because it's deep,
it holds,
I think. It's because it's deep and you're not prepared for it.
Yeah.
Because when you go to bite it, it's like it's already hitting the bottom of your mouth and you feel like, oh, game over.
Yep.
And then you go like 2 inches down. Into it and it just goes and fucking
and
sinks into the top of your mouth.
It's
and
not
burns
the cheese,
you.
It's the sauce. Yeah. Squeezes out from under the cheese that gets
and you're
you.
Like it's fucking stuck in the top. You can't even, it's so hot your tongue can't even save you from it because then you're sacrificing your tongue to save the roof of your mouth.
Yeah. I still make that shit. Murders. I make it on the Pyrenees sweet dough rolls.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Fucking delicious.
Oh, dude, when I mean, I'm still poor, but when I was really fucking poor, when my daughter was first born, I was on like fucking straight up WIC. Like I got like government cheese.
Yeah.
You were Poe.
I was Poe.
Yeah, you Poe.
And I would go to the dollar store.
I love government cheese.
Yeah, I would go to the dollar store.
So good.
I mean, it was just a block of fucking cheese, right?
Real cheese.
Yeah.
Real cheese.
So I would go to
that was stable at shelf temperature when no other food was.
Went to the dollar store and they had fucking San Luis garlic sourdough loaves that were like, not day old, multi days old, because shit's good for a long time. And I'm, for some reason, the dollar store had it. So I'd buy those. I'd buy like fucking spaghetti sauce, like in a fucking can for a dollar, and then like black olives, whatever we could find to put on them things. And I'd grade that fucking cheese. And that's what we would eat, man, because I didn't have any fucking money and they were just giving
the
you block. What are you going to do?
Was perfect. It was like it was a perfect mix between Velveeta and American cheese.
Yeah, because it
slices.
Would microwave well.
It was, and you could flub it. Yeah. You could just go flub.
That was a repeat meal sure.
We just switched from like spaghetti sauces. Like if you don't make your own, you buy it. You know, and I know you like the Newman's Own.
I do.
Fucking, have you tried Rouse?
I haven't tried Rouse. I've heard good things about it. It's so fucking expensive.
It's
I never
not watery,
pulled the trigger.
Some
on
of them are watery. Yeah. I would shake the thing and look at the viscosity.
They have different ones, but this dude, because
they're like $10 a bottle.
They're a little expensive. They're fucking good.
They're worth
they're
it.
They're fucking good. All they're right, real
I'll,
good.
I'll pull the trigger.
Buy
on
one.
Rouse.
Buy one. And
dude, there's some super fancy sauce. I always look at it like, man, I wonder what that tastes like. I'm not gonna buy it though.
Some of them
like,
aren't very good.
Well, Rouse like, looks
some
like
some
a good
of them
size
are like $17.
So the
Rouse,
the original, because. My wife, she'll make the stuffed shells with the cheese in them, you know, and shit, and the big old giant shells. And that was the sauce they said to use. And we fucking got it. And I was like, damn, I'm making spaghetti with it. I'm making everything with it. Like they have a bunch of different like seasoned types, but just a regular ass one. That shit's fucking good, dude. It's real good.
Have you tried the Socceroni? I don't know if you'd like it. It's got mushrooms and peppers in it.
Yeah, nah. It's got the slimy mushrooms, huh? Yeah, because I don't like dry mushrooms. Cooked.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and usually they're not, like, usually you don't, like, you can taste the mushrooms and the peppers, but you usually don't find it in the jar.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get a jar that's, like, full of mushrooms and peppers.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
Peppers, I don't mind. The mushrooms, it's more of a texture, because mushrooms don't really have too much of a flavor to me.
When I was little, I was fucking not okay with mushrooms. It made me think about slugs. Like, I thought about snails.
Yeah, the wet mushrooms I can't do. But, like, if I have, like a combination pizza, most of the time I'll get no mushroom. But, like, if it's a place that I know that has, like, the dry cooked mushroom on top, you know, they're dry, I'm cool with those.
I don't give a fuck. What's on combination pizza? I'm eating it. I fucking love combination pizza. Yeah.
I fucking love mushrooms, dude. Yeah, sauteed mushrooms. Fucking
boiled mushroom, fried mushroom, mushroom kebab.
Mushroom soup.
Peanut butter mushroom sandwiches.
Mushroom shrimp.
Maddox is growing mushrooms right now. He's got a fucking
dangerous
3-foot bag of fucking crazy ass inoculated fucking media hanging on our patio in the shade that he missed every day. It looks crazy right now.
Yeah, one thing I never have wanted to mess with.
Growing mushrooms.
I've heard of some people who have tried to grow mushrooms and it just got out of control, and then mushroom spores were everywhere, and then, like, there were just mushrooms everywhere always.
Oh, no. My buddy Bryce has fucking got that shit unlocked like a goddamn fucking scientist, dude.
Yeah, if I grew any mushrooms.
Like, one friend of mine, like, grew mushrooms in his basement. And he was like, that was years ago. And now there's still just always mushrooms in my basement, like growing in the walls. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
I can find that picture. Man. It's just fucking.
But he's kind of an idiot, too. So I feel like that might be a him problem more than a mushroom.
You're going to be like, that's nasty. But that's just what it looks like before it spores out.
Oh, yeah. Because you had that one in the box. Yeah.
Are those baby parts?
Yeah. Why is it green? It's supposed to be green.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, as always,
we're into the funny 26.
We are into the funny 26. Thank you for our patrons. Even when the universe takes a shit on us and we can't get here to record, we feel guilty that we're not putting out content for you. And we do our best to get together whenever we can, even with crazy lives, and make sure that the show must go on. So thank you, patrons. If you like the show, go to patreon.com/sofakingpodcast. If you give just a buck, you get a couple of hundred bonus episodes, that are all funny 20 all the time. As well as other kickbacks and swag. So someone just got their fancy 500, didn't they?
Kristen Hintz got 500 now, yeah.
It's barely. It's been patron for a long time. Yeah. So, that dollar, I guess, takes a while.
Maybe.
It took 500. But
thank you for supporting us. And as always, go to podbelly.com to check out some other podcasts. And with that, we get to our topic.
That was a weak attempt. Yeah. You did your whole,
done it three times.
Our whole Fight Night Patreon episode. You did your really good impression, might I say.
What's that?
Your macho Randy Man fucking Savage.
Yeah.
Whatever. Would you call yourself though? You called yourself.
That was his brother, wasn't I?
Yeah. You were his brother.
I remember that. I don't remember what
it was like. Randy Nacho Man Savage or something.
Randy. Yeah. Randy Nacho Man
Savage. I think it was. Yeah. You did a good job.
So I did, you know, this one took me a long time to research because I just kept watching matches. And I mean, I grew up in as a kid, it was the Macho Man era.
Right.
So I remember, I even saw him live. They came to Battle Creek and I went and saw them live with Rob Van Dam.
That's fucking cool.
When he was Rob Zatkowski. And
God, just the cocaine he was on. I
didn't find anything about the cocaine.
I didn't either, but like, I mean,
come on.
Yeah.
But
all those wrestlers, dude, they're just sweating like when they're not even in a match. Yeah.
Well, but I don't
Jake
remember.
The Snake said he's like, we did. He's like, well, I personally, I can't speak for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but, I personally but if did he's a doing lot
it,
of cocaine.
Yeah, if he's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said you had to. I mean, their tour schedule was brutal,
dude. It still is brutal, but it's not as brutal as it used to be, I think. But, because now they make enough money that there's money for it. They can just fly.
Yeah, now they can have all the,
afford a hotel room.
And all the coke they want.
All the coke they want, yeah.
I wonder if they have to pay for their own steroids. I guess they probably did back in the day.
Back then it was sneaky. Like there was like a documentary I watched. What's that girl's name he dated after the the stripper Georgie something Georgie. She became a wrestler too. It's like fucking Georgie Pie or some shit. I can't remember. Georgie Pie. Something like that. But she said that they would go over to his parents' house and his mom would like keep her entertained while his dad gave him his medicine or something. Oh. And oh, so wow. He went to his parents' house. His dad was getting it somehow for him. Oh, wow. Because his dad was a bodybuilder before he became a wrestler. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. See, I don't remember Macho Man matches. So when I was rewatching some of them doing the research, I was like, oh, he's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's why. Yeah. Like, it's not just because he cuts the best promos in the business. He was like really good. I think, and like one of the, it might have been Ric Flair, and he was talking about WrestleMania, and he was like, everybody talks about how Hulk Hogan made WrestleMania. He was like, the Macho Man made WrestleMania. Yeah. He had the biggest match in WrestleMania 3, 4, and 5. Like, the first WrestleMania was Hogan, but the reason it kept going was Macho Man.
Yeah, they said he outdid, there was the Dragon and
yep, Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat. That was WrestleMania 3. I watched that match. Incredible match. So good.
Yeah, there were some hardcore dudes on there like, I get the chill still when I watch it.
So
I like,
good, dude.
Yeah. Love that.
I kept hearing that and I was like, how good can that match be? And I watched, I was like, that was fucking really good.
It's because he said they studied that shit. There was 166 steps to the match or something. They did every like fake false finish or whatever possibly, like one after another after another. And he said that fucking Randy Savage was crazy, like
and he said he was pissed off because Randy, and we're all out of order here, but Randy came and gave him a yellow legal pad with every single move for the whole match, 167 of them mapped out, and like that's just not how you do it,
right?
Period. Like that's you might come up with a thing in the middle and how we practice it a couple times, but he was like, no, this is what we're doing, and he was like, he was pissed off about it, and he was like, but you know, Macho Man, like we would, cause we practiced it for months and months and months, and we would, you know, be backstage and he would say, you know, move 90.
Right.
And then he would be, 90 is I bounce off the rope and then I try this. And then, and he would like make him go 90 through 110.
Oh shit.
And then after a while, the Dragon would show up and be like, okay, move 112. And he would be like, 112 is this, and then we do this, and then we do this. And he was like, and it was ridiculous.
Think about how to memorize 167 of anything, bro.
And like, then to make the trick is to make it still feel natural.
Yeah. Right. Like that's flow, the hard choreography part of that flowing together.
But, and he even said in the documentary that I watched, Ricky the Dragon was like, this match is leaps above any other match I wrestled in my entire career, and I wrestled 6,000 matches.
That's crazy.
So that's the payoff, you know, of Macho Man's obsessive compulsive.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, like as an adult, like, you know, wrestling's staged, it's fake, it's entertainment, like, but like there's fans out there that are like, and we've talked about this before, you know, different wrestlers, The Rock, you know, but like there's fans that like, if
it was gorgeous, someone in the live said.
Yeah, when they find out wrestling is fake, it's like when they found out Santa Claus wasn't real. You know what I mean? Like, it's like heartbreaking.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I always knew, like, even watching when we were young, like, my friends had, they made up their own game. They had a WWF wrestling ring, and they had action figures.
Right.
And they had dice, and they had moves.
Nice.
And so like the, and then it would like, you'd have to roll the finishers and all this stuff. Like, they created their own game and they loved it. You know, like, we watched wrestling, we watched all the death matches, we watched all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah, we knew it was fake.
I'm surprised they never made a collectible card game.
They have cards. I don't know if there's a game though.
Cause it just seems like, I got a holograph Rock, you know, and then it's like, get this finishing moves. And
you can make a deck that has different, you know, you definitely could do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just funny. You can't compare it to like the UFC, you know, or anything like that. Like,
no.
I feel like, UFC is real fighting. Like, they're really fighting, or boxing, or, you know, something like that. But entertainment wise, like wrestling has always been
nothing like it.
Yeah, it's always been great, you know.
Nothing like it.
Even if it's even if you're laughing at it, you know what I mean? Like yes. Even if the guy's yeah. so ridiculous, you yeah. know, like, and that's probably what they want.
Right.
You know, like it's set up and it's made to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm. I finally heard you guys' famous line. I didn't know what it was from. The cup of coffee and a what is it?
Cup of coffee in the big time.
Yeah.
I finally saw
I was like, oh, that was it. I rewound it.
That was leading up to WrestleMania 3.
And he's on cocaine.
Yeah.
Like fucking like
Ricky Steamboat has his cup of coffee in the big time. Yeah. Dang
pretty,
it.
That's pretty
and
good.
Then at the end, freak out.
Yeah.
And he like walks away.
Yeah. What the fuck? Like, yeah.
Dude, that whole character is so strange.
Yeah, like he's so fucking, good, yeah. dude. So good.
It's so unique. There's nothing.
And you see him talk with interviews when he's not being Macho Man, and he's still like 80% yeah. Macho Man. Like well, that's his
yeah.
voice.
Yeah.
Like he's not all tense and like doing his finger moves.
But he still talks like this.
But he still talks like
I noticed exactly something like weird that Chris yeah. Farley must have been inspired by Macho Man a little bit.
Oh, because the way they move.
Well, there's some shit about the moving and the voice thing. Like, there's some spots where he doesn't. I'm like, oh, weird. That's so Chris Farley. That's so Chris Farley. The strained voice, like, we're going to go over here, like, down by the earth. Yeah. Like, the thing, like, and you're like, oh, that is so fucking Macho Man.
And he's even doing pointing and,
Yeah, there's some very Macho Man shit with Chris Farley. And I wish I would have been able to find out, you know?
You have physical comedy, you know what I mean?
Right.
The way that they do the acting on wrestling is kind of physical. Yeah,
for sure.
The way they talk and how much they pronounce and overpronounce, it's crazy. Nothing compares though to old school wrestling. Like even now, like I watch some of the promos and stuff now, it's just not the same. Yeah.
It's getting really good right now, but it's not.
Yeah. You don't have even mid school stuff like Stone Cold and The Rock, you know, stuff like that. Like you don't even have that, flair that they used to.
No. So I didn't know that he was Leaping Lenny Poffo's brother.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So their father, so he was born in 1952, Columbus, Ohio. His dad, Angelo Poffo, was like an old school wrestler and a bodybuilder. And he was in, like back in the day, he was in Ripley's Believe It or Not, because a Ripley's representative watched him. And he did 6,033 consecutive sit-ups over 4 hours.
Oh, fuck.
And he claimed that 6,000 was the record and that he wanted to go to 633 because Jesus was 33 years old when he died. And he was a very
religious
man. Yeah, he was on cocaine. He said that people had burst their abdominal artery and bled out while trying to get to 6,000. I don't know that I buy that or not. But he said that at the end he was completely bloodied because you can't do 4 hours and 6,000 sit-ups without all the skin of your back starting to get rubbed off.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I remember when I was in like the third grade, I did like 500 or 600 sit-ups. Like I was crazy about, like obsessive to the point my mom was worried. Like I remember I'd be on the top of my bunk bed, I put my feet under the wood thing, and I would just fucking do sit-ups. I don't remember. I fucking wish I kept ADHD. Doing that. Yeah, I just, it was obsessive. Yeah. And then like I would like you could punch me in the stomach and it was just like nothing, dude. I was fucking flexed.
That's weird. What was wrong with you?
I don't know. I was like that from like the third grade through like the sixth or seventh grade. And then at some point in time, I clearly quit doing sit-ups.
Right.
I bet you his dad was meth-ing him. Like
maybe
sleeping. Yeah.
But yeah, his dad did like some wrestling circuits, you know, back before, you know, probably wasn't even televised yet.
Yeah.
You know, but he was a professional bodybuilder. He was a wrestler. Lonnie Poffo.
Such a weird name.
2 years younger than Randy. But yeah, his name is Randy Poffo. Like that's,
yeah. I heard him say it a lot of times, but it was just like such a weird name.
Yeah. But he was a really talented athlete, really young. And when you see pictures of him, he's in super good shape, but he's just super lean. He's not
super
muscular
good
at all.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, that's why he had to take medicine.
Yeah, that's right. He did every sport you can imagine. And apparently he was like exceptionally good at baseball.
Just an athlete.
Yeah. And he got into baseball. He was obsessed with it.
That's the crazy story right here.
So in high school, his junior year, he swung right-handed, and then his senior year, he became a switch hitter and decided to swing left-handed. and could hit.
It's because he got injured. He was catcher, and someone like came into home plate and like dislocated his shoulder, and he just couldn't do it right-handed anymore. So he just learned how to throw and hit left-handed. Hmm. And in the one I watched on the documentary, some guy, like there was a professional baseball player, was just like, that's just fucking crazy.
It is crazy.
Like that late in your life, and he still got signed.
And they said that he could pitch faster than the pitcher, even though he was a catcher.
Yeah.
Like, well, and that's kind of a thing though. Like usually catchers throw hard.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, you have good throwing catches.
Because you have to throw from a fucking squat.
Yeah. Well, that and you have to throw from home all the way to second, downs at second and stuff. Like, yeah.
In high school, I guess the place where they played was right next to an apartment complex, and he was the only one in the history of the field to hit a home run so high and far that it broke out sliding glass door on a third story apartment.
Still three stories up.
Yeah. So apparently it was pretty fucking hot shit. He signed with like the B League St. Louis Cardinals. Right out of high school. I watched an interview with another professional baseball player who like went on to become a coach. And he said that he just learned tons of stuff. Like he was really, I guess Randy was really unorthodox and just came up with all these like ghetto ways to practice. And like he went and bought a used tire and just hung it on a chain. And as soon as they were done with practice and exhausted, he would go there and hit it for an hour or two because it improved his forearm strength and his stance. Yeah. And the guy was like, if you go to my training grounds for my players right now, you're going to see all the tires because like we still do that to this day.
For batting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hitting the bat.
They actually cut him though, just because he looks so fucking weird and unorthodox the way he fucking threw though.
Oh, is that why they
cut him? Yeah, they cut him. So like, think about how hard it would be to learn how to throw as good as you do right-handed, left-handed.
Or
it's so
better.
Fucking weird. Or or proficient enough that they still sign your ass.
Yeah.
When you, for your whole life and you're like 18 and then you learn how to throw the other way.
Right.
Fucking crazy. You got good at throwing because you did it for 18 years with your dad since you were a little kid.
Right.
Like,
well, I'm somewhat ambidextrous. Like I can throw.
I can shoot catch. Both ways.
Yeah. I can throw and catch like left or right handed. I can bat left or right handed, but I'm definitely prefer right handed over left. Like you do feel awkward.
Oh yeah.
Like if I step into bat left handed, your timing's different.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have the timing. You don't, you don't practice it as much, you know? So, even being able to do that, that would still be incredibly hard.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I can do everything right-handed.
Yeah. Because you're right-handed.
Yes. I have a right hand.
Even right. You know what's crazy? Like try this tomorrow. Brush your teeth with the wrong fucking hand. Yeah. It is fucking rough, dude. Weird.
Try writing.
Yeah, everything's.
Oh, writing. Yeah. Writing, you look like you're a fucking 80-year-old senile man. Yeah, just
your name.
Man.
How long have you wrote your name?
Yeah.
Like, write your name. Yeah. You know.
Although my penmanship's so fucking shitty, it'll probably be an improvement.
There was some kind of thing. It was supposed to be like a life hack. That like if when you woke up, you brush your teeth with the wrong hand, it like messes with your brain.
Right.
And it does something to like activate some shit where your like learning capability is in some different mode.
It's that way with anything. Like a lot of people, like even in jiu-jitsu, like people only want to do one side.
Yeah.
They want to do a technique and only do one side. I always do both sides.
Right.
Like you always try and learn both sides. And sometimes you find out that the one side you thought was your bad side is actually you're better at that side. So, a lot of people just, I guess it's just, you handicap yourself. You know what I mean? Like I have my son throw right and left-handed. I have him kick a ball, both feet, just because, you know what I mean?
Our sensei made sure, like we are going to train everything right and left equally. You know? Like you have to
handicap
yourself. I'm right-handed, but left-footed. Like it's fucking,
and that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, that's just my, I can kick like a motherfucker with my left foot. Yeah. My right foot feels real weird.
And I found out like in judo, I throw better to the left.
Yeah.
Like I do left-handed.
Just in my head, that feels weird. Just thinking it
does. Yeah. But also most people are right-handed and defend right-handed throws better than left-handed throws. So like, it's more unorthodox, but yet you find out like if you can do it, it's just better for you.
Yeah. You're going to be more effective.
You're more effective. You're more proficient, you know?
So, right.
doing those things. But if you don't do it, you'll never find out that, I'm actually good at it that way. You know, or I'm good with that foot or whatever, you know, or I have better aim. Like I can actually golf left-handed.
That's crazy.
I don't hit near as far as I do right-handed, But what happens is you take your strength out of it, and you it's just using technique. Just so technique, you actually
I feel like that would be the site for me to try to fucking
take golf.
A, left handed, no way.
I had a set of left handed clubs, and I would go out and I would hit like chip shots left handed, and I actually hit better left handed than I did right handed. Because there's less, it was just
my dominant eye. Like I shoot better left-handed.
So I'm shoot right-handed, but I'm left eye dominant. So I lean
across it.
I lean across sights. If I'm looking at sights or down the side of the gun, I use my left eye.
Yeah.
Same thing shooting bows. I'm right-handed, but I have to shoot. I have to lean.
I never thought about leaning over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you find out those things, you know, so like, and technically I would probably be better, doing certain things left-handed because I'm left eye dominant. Sure. So, and I didn't find out that later until later in life. And I was like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Why am I doing
that's
that?
That's a trip.
And you find out like, oh fuck, like my left eye is the eye I should be looking at.
That's a trip.
So
throughout his, so he did semi-pro baseball for 4 years. I think it was Ric Flair who was talking, but he said that he would go to, you know, he'd go to the arena because he'd be doing a match that night, and Randy's father would be doing a match that night, and he would look up in the audience and there would be like four or five guys in full baseball gear. And he was just backstage looking out there, and he was like, whose gimmick is this? Like, he was like, who's like, are these four going to do a run in and hit us with bats? Yeah. Like, he was wondering,
he's like, fucking, who the fuck's this guy?
Like, who's the baseball guy? Like, what the fuck? But they would get done with their game and they would all pack into a car and drive for hours to get to the match. And apparently he had in his contract, he couldn't do any other athletic events except play baseball for this club. Mm. So he would go and wrestle where his father was wrestling, and he would put on a luchador mask and wrestle as the Spider.
No, that's funny.
He was like Nacho Libre. He had to stay
super
anonymous,
super lean, like doing like high flying fast moves. And like a lot of people say that they think that's pretty awesome because then it comes full circle when he's like, and he was like ripping off Spider-Man. He would like pose like Spider-Man. But then like when they made the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, he was in Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I had forgotten
played,
about that.
He played Bonesaw. So he kind of to do a full circle.
He was probably stoked.
He is a monster, dude.
Yeah. That's probably fucking pretty cool for him.
You know what I mean? It was, dude. Yeah, if you love Spider-Man and that was your first gimmick, and then you get to be in Spider-Man, like fighting Spider-Man, that's fucking dope.
Yeah.
He gets done with baseball. The documentary that I watched said that he was so disappointed because his entire life was baseball that when he got cut, like everybody knew him and like he just always had his bag of bats with him.
Yeah.
And when he got cut, he just drove home, took his bag of bats, broke them all against the oak tree in his front yard, and then just dropped them and let them rot in the grass.
And he was completely done. He never looked back. He never messed with baseball. He didn't fuck with it at all.
And then he instantly said, I'm now a wrestler.
Yep.
And he started putting on masks. He grew out his hair. He grew out his beard because his brother was already starting to wrestle. His dad already wrestled. So he was like, fuck it. So he completely transformed his physique and he starts training like crazy to become a wrestler. And ironically, he was bad at cutting promos. Like he couldn't get in front of the camera. He would have panic attacks. He didn't know what to do. So he talked to his brother because his brother was pretty good at it. And his brother was like, we need to identify a character, you know, and they talked to him and he asked him, who do you like? Like, who's someone that you respect when you watch their promos? And he said, and I've never heard of this guy, a guy named Pampero Firpo.
They showed the video.
Yeah, I saw the video. Yeah. And he did and he was from Hawaii. He was in the Hawaiian circuit. And it was like really slow and stretched out. It wasn't a Macho Man. But he was like, he really liked the oh yeah. And he was like, okay, do that. And then we need a name.
Right when he did it, though, he said his brother, they had like an aha moment. That he was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they were like,
and his brother was like, oh, that is it, dude. Like, that's it. Yeah. You got it. That is it.
And so they came up with the name. He didn't want to be Randy Poffo because he wanted to do it on his own and he didn't want to lean on his dad or his brother's name. And I forget who. Somebody told him he should use the name Savage, and I don't think I have it in the
What I saw was Macho Man came, and then he said, how do you get the name Savage? He's like, I think he just earned it because he was just fucking crazy.
Because he was Savage. But a specific wrestler started calling him Savage, and I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, this guy's Savage. Just
and the documentary's brother said he just earned that part. So, but I don't know,
It was just Macho Man Randy for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Macho Man
Randy. And even the Macho Man thing.
I think it was just Macho Man.
Yeah.
I heard like two different things. One was actually from him, and he said that when he was playing baseball, he was always like quick to get in the other team's face and pick fights. And that everyone started calling him Macho Man, and they would hold up signs in the audience and said, hey, Macho Man, hit the ball over here.
Yeah.
But then a bunch of stuff that I read said that his mom sent him clips of I think a Reader's Digest article that called someone a Macho Man. And it was a term that no one had heard or had used or meant anything. And he just really liked it and it stuck. So I'm wondering if
that Village was people in had Macho Man at that time though, right? What year was that?
That was probably later than this.
Yeah. What year did Macho Man come out?
Cause this 70s. All would have been 73, 74, 75. I'm Macho guessing. Man
might be late 70s then.
That's what I'm guessing.
Maybe that's when the term was getting hot.
Maybe. Yeah. That was when it got adopted.
1979.
Yeah.
So they probably took it from him, basically. Yeah.
Oh, here's 77. Yeah, maybe I don't have that date right.
But anyway,
late
70s.
Yeah,
he ends up with Macho Man Randy Savage, which is just a great name. And he's got the hair and he's got the beard and he's figured out the oh yeah. And but it's more than just that. He figures out that whole way to talk. And I was watching a couple of people that were doing impressions of him, and they said the most important part of a Randy Savage impression, everybody thinks it's when he screams, but they were like, the most important part is the whisper.
Yeah.
You know, cause he does like,
I'm gonna come and get you.
And it's the fingers. Like he's always doing weird shit with his fingers. And then you've just got to say some random shit, you know, all the space and time. Yeah. Space and time. And it's just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And even like, Mean Gene, who's just the best, who always did the interviews backstage.
He looks so uncomfortable sometimes, though, because you could tell, like, maybe in the beginning, he's like,
well, he's not on coke.
What should I do right now?
He's not on coke, and you're next to somebody who's on coke.
I don't think he is uncomfortable. He's just so good at playing the straight man and selling, like, how freaked out he is.
He laughs sometimes.
He does. You can see him trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
But he said they would have a script. He was like, you know, Vince would say, we're going to go do this. And we would get out there and I'd get out there and then he comes walking up and I'm saying, you know, what do you think about this Saturday night? And he pulls out a coffee creamer.
Yeah.
And like, he's just
I saw that whole thing. What?
Just, or he'll bring me a trash can with a rag in
his pocket.
And he's like, this is a crying towel. Yeah. And like, it's just, and he was like, and he would just improv. And you can see so many takes where he's just, he's doing everything not to laugh. Then he has to, and then he asks follow-up questions that are so obvious and stupid, but set Macho Man up to say even more crazy shit. They're just, I mean, they are the best promos ever. Ever to be.
What was his cream? It was like, I'm cream of the crop. Like, what?
Cream of the crop.
Is that what it was? And he puts the cream in his pocket. I was like, oh my God.
But the cup of coffee, I just, it's my favorite. That's my favorite promo in the history of wrestling. The cup of the coffee in the big time.
I got so excited when it came out. I was like, oh fuck, that's what they say all the time. That's the thing that they say.
It's so good. But yeah, you can easily find a clip of, you know, top Macho Man promos and you're going to get a good kick out of them because they're pretty crazy. Starts with ICW. The name was suggested by
the grape leader.
Ole Anderson was the one who told him to take the name Savage.
There you go.
So in the 70s, he and his brother and his father teamed up and created International Championship Wrestling in Lexington, Kentucky, which starts to show you Macho Man's business smarts. What he does here is ingenious to get on top. So they end up creating this little shitty, you know, thing. Meanwhile, the next town, so this is in Lexington, but in Louisville, Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Hart had a mutt, like the one.
Yeah.
Like that was the wrestling promotion. But since they were in a different town, they didn't cross that boundary you know, of stealing our territory, yeah, even though you were really fucking close. Yeah. But once they got on TV in the area, they were both on TV in the same region. And Macho Man, even though he wasn't ever going to work with these guys, he would get on, and when he would do his promos, he would start talking shit about Jerry Lawler.
I watched the interview with Lawler, and he was like, I was like, who is this? We're not going to wrestle. Like, this guy, I'm not wrestling. He's not even in our thing. Yes. But to the audience, they don't know.
They don't know.
They
that
think that could happen. That's going to do it.
He's eventually Lawler's like, I have to fucking wrestle this guy.
Yeah.
Like, cause everybody's writing him about it and harassing him at the fucking.
It took years though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It took a while, but yeah, he had to.
Why are you ducking the Macho Man?
But eventually,
I keep asking him to fight, brother. And he just, nowhere to be found.
Well, it's a Jake Paul move, dude. Look at Jake Paul. He just he didn't get into a boxing career and like work his way up the top. He just started challenging motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And he got to fucking fight. Like, think all the people he's fighting, he's gonna fight Mike Tyson. Yeah. And all
he's
he
not
did was
fight Mike Tyson.
I know. I heard they're gonna wear fucking headgear.
No, that's not a real thing. I guess that's not real. No, I think they're really. I think they're really.
Have you been watching Tyson's videos? He's on like day three training. Dude. He's like, you still want to fuck with me, motherfucker? I was like, oh,
he's a fucking. If he doesn't fight like that, at least even in the first round, it's fake.
If Mike Tyson loses, I understand you might not be able to go
10 rounds, but if you don't fight like that in the first round, it's fake.
If the first round isn't just doing your best to survive against this horrible
beast.
He's
fucking ridiculous, dude.
Yeah. Did you see the interview with Tyson Rogan when he was talking about training for that last fight? And then they show that clip. And Rogan's like, yeah, I saw that clip. He's like, yeah, you know what, though? He's like, I was in bed for like 12 days after that. And Joe Rogan just starts cracking up because he was saying, oh, because you're old, you're in bed for 12 days. And Joe Rogan's cracking up, like almost crying, laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tyson's all, it's not funny, though. And he was just like, zip.
Yeah, you don't want 3 minutes. You don't want a fucking minute with
Joe
that.
Joe Rogan really, like, I said it before, but he built that table that he has now.
They had a different
table. They made a bigger table because he said when Tyson was there, it was uncomfortable. Yeah. He said literally made the table bigger because of Mike Tyson.
I've watched interviews with him, and I was like,
he's unpredictable.
Oh, yeah, he's like.
That one where he cries because he's afraid of himself and what he'll do to people.
He starts crying. Yeah, I just can't. he starts crying and you're like,
I can't control it. Dude, I can't.
His fucking mental is just not safe. Yeah. I would like to. I mean, it'd be cool to be around him, you know, talk to him.
Oh, whatever, dude.
Like, he could just pop off and squeeze your fucking head off and you don't know what the fuck's happening. Dude. Like,
so, and then, of course, as it was back in the day, at one point, the entire ICW crew bought tickets to the Memphis show. And they went in and they were going to just like literally beat the shit out of everybody.
Are they doing a dojo storm?
Yeah. Which used to happen. It still does happen, to be perfectly honest. I saw it happen when ECW wrestled in LA, like in the late 90s, all the LA guys showed up and fought everybody in a fucking back alley while the fucking,
well, they did it even the big on. WCW with WWF. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they started crossing over and like dudes would come over and, I mean, that was a huge thing, you know?
So he was going after the main, and this is a different one. This wasn't Lawler's group. It was a group in Memphis, and their star was a guy named Bill Dundee. And several months after they tried to, and by the way, they were all there to do a fucking dive on him, but then some kind of a fucking freakish riot started in the crowd. And they never got a chance to do it.
Yeah.
But word got around that they were, because all the wrestlers knew they were all in the crowd waiting.
Yeah, you're going to see all these yoked out guys. Like.
But I guess several months later, Dundee and Savage ran into each other into a parking lot. Dundee ran to his car and grabbed a gun and ran back to Savage. And there's like multiple eyewitnesses.
That serious?
Yeah.
Like, God damn.
And they said Savage grabbed the gun out of his hand and pistol whipped him with it, breaking his jaw.
Oh, fuck.
And put him out of wrestling commission for 6 weeks and then left with his gun.
Damn, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That shit got serious.
Yeah. So, but his promos are starting to steal heat, and eventually Lawler is like, well, okay, yeah, then I guess we'll do this. So then they started having business talks.
Somehow they ran out of money and they were like, hey, we're sorry for everything we said. We're leaving the territory and we hope that we can work with you one day.
Yeah.
And so then they were like, fuck yeah, this will work. Like, that's if we're going to work together, you know what I mean? When you're going to be
okay. Yeah. I didn't see that part. I saw that there was an accord, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And they somewhat merged. like they ended up taking all the talent together and they ended up becoming a bigger outfit. And then they did those matches. And then once finally, you know, Vince McMahon is like, so what the fuck is going on? This guy, the Macho Man, just called out Lawler and now they've merged. And so then Vince starts to watch because he got this heat. And then as soon as Vince looks, he's like, we're fucking hiring this guy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's yoked. He's crazy. He cuts amazing promos.
Yeah. I have and lots Vince of immediately.
Yeah. I got coke for days, Randy. So they scoop up, Randy and, he joins WWF in 1985, but he says he's only going to join if his brother can join. And they're like, absolutely. So that was when Leaping Lanny Poffo developed his character. They get there. And then at the time, it was really, really popular for everyone to have a manager. So there was, you know, Jimmy Hart, Bobby the Brain Heenan, like all these different people that would be the managers.
They did a big to-do thing where all the managers were out there like battling to see who was going to be his manager.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it made sense back then because I think
was Paul Bear there at that time or was that later?
I know that might have been later, but yeah, that was I think that was later.
I don't know if he was somebody else.
But I think that's the move. That's the like back then. I think
even like the Million Dollar Man and stuff had managers. They've done that forever
because I think a lot of the wrestlers didn't have much charisma and they couldn't cut a promo, so they needed this charismatic person to hype up the upcoming match. Which is why I think Paul Heyman became Brock Lesnar's manager.
Yeah.
Because Brock doesn't really talk and he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that charisma.
Yeah.
So let Paul, who has more charisma than anybody on earth, let him do it and then let this beast just go in and wreck everybody. But so he had just gotten married to Elizabeth and he said, hey, what if we have my wife do it? And Vince wasn't opposed to it and had her come in for a screen test. And then once they started thinking about it, they were like, yeah, because now there's like this savage beast of a man with this completely beautiful manager who's super elegant and is always refined. And like it just added this depth to his character.
He was kind of weird, controlling, abusive. He was. There was a ton of clips. So I was like, ooh, that's
And his brother said, none of that is true.
Yeah.
Which...
He did do some shit where they said that he would lock her in one of the dressing rooms so no one could come in or out.
Yeah, she got matches. He made sure that she had her own dressing room. And
but
then,
she
like,
couldn't leave it though.
No, she couldn't leave it. And they said that
when
like Cindy Lauper or the Fabulous Moolah or somebody like that would show up, they would use her dressing room.
Right.
But no men could be in the dressing room. But yeah, so that was the whole Miss Elizabeth thing. And then she became just as popular as he was.
I mean, you gotta imagine, too, like how many alpha men are there? Every motherfucker's alpha man, steroids.
Yeah.
They're all juiced out. They're all badasses.
They're all super rapey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like at this point.
You know, real rapey.
Yeah.
She's got to get her own room. Yeah.
So he ends up getting a costume designer who's the same costume designer that did stuff for Hendrix and Cher.
I watched the whole thing about that with the interview with that guy talking about it.
Because his outfits were legit.
Yeah, he was like...
They were a mix between Hendrix and Cher.
He said Randy showed up with some fucking like Speedos, like some tassels. Little shorts. And he was like, it just had like three stars and it said Macho Man on it or something on the ass. It said Macho Man. He's like, you got to give me more to work with here, man. He's like, let me do my thing. And he fucking makes like that crazy ass outfit.
Jacket and shit.
And you see it too. You look at Hendrix with like the fringe and the frill shit come
up. That's what I was saying. It's the Cher and Hendrix mix like perfectly. I didn't know
and
that.
And then
funny.
Vince McMahon said, he's like, that was all out of his pocket. He's like, he's like, I'm going to tell you right now. They all made the comment that he was cheap as fuck. Like you could buy him a beer, but he wasn't buying you a beer. He said, and he was super penny pinch. He's like, I bet he has every dime he ever fucking made from wrestling. He would not spend money on anything, but he spent money on his image, on those outfits, because it was expensive. I mean, it was like $5,000 outfits or something.
And I mean, I look at like right now in wrestling, a guy named Seth Rollins really fucking does it up. Not to the Macho Man level, but every week he shows up in some crazy outfit and you're like, how much did that fucking cost?
$5,000
you know?
Probably.
And you know, it's out of his own pocket. Like, you know, but, his outfits were just fucking ridiculous, which just added to everything. And then he rises to the top and it was really interesting because there wasn't anybody like him because traditionally in wrestling, you're either a face or a heel. You're either a good guy or a bad guy. And Macho Man, never did the cheap pops that heels usually do, which is you talk shit about the city, you get them all pissed off, right. You know, oh, Bakersfield, oh, I'm glad, sorry I didn't bring a meth pipe,
right?
You know, and then get everyone to boo, you know, and it's like he never did that. Like he never went against the audience.
Right.
Like the brilliance was, even though part of it was probably unfortunately real, it's like Miss Elizabeth would come out. He would like call Miss Elizabeth out and then say, hold my belt. And then as soon as she would get to, he'd say, you don't get to hold my belt, and like kick her off the camera. Yeah,
changed my mind.
And then the crowd would be like, oh, fuck that. You can't do that to Miss Elizabeth.
And tell her to polish the belt.
Yeah.
If he loses, it's her fault. Yeah. Like a bunch of stuff. Somebody's like, did I tell you to talk? And then like the announcer guy, he would be like, are you guys talking? Are you looking at her?
Yeah.
Like getting all jealous. I was like, damn, dude. But some of it was uncomfortable.
Some of it was uncomfortable, but I think that gave him enough to be a heel. Yeah. So everybody didn't like him, but everybody loved him because he was so charismatic. Right. And he would do heel moves. He would hit people with the fucking ring bell. He would do shit but he never became that evil character.
Right.
And I think he was really one of a kind. Like no one else could really duplicate that until like Stone Cold and The Rock came like 15, 20 years later. You're either one or the other. And Macho Man just kind of was this none of the above, in the middle. But the crowd loved him. He blew up in popularity almost immediately. He would cut those promos. He had a huge run with Jake the Snake Roberts, who would actually bring a live snake in and
bit him, dude. I watched that video. Dude, I was like, I don't know
Jake,
if I could fucking
Jake the
play
Snake's
that
gimmick was pretty, like, all things considered, was pretty weak. He would beat your ass.
Yeah.
He would get the 1, 2, 3, you're unconscious. And then while you're laying there unconscious, he would dump a snake on you.
Yeah. He'd go get
and the crowd
snake
would be
bag.
Like, ooh, but it's just, there's a snake.
Macho Man.
No, that was the whole point. Yeah. Like, they defanged it and had it bite. And you see it, and it's fucking wicked. It bites the shit out of Macho Man.
Oh, but the fangs were gone?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be.
Oh.
Well, no, it was supposed to be not defanged, but no, devenomed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it might have been a bug constrictor.
Yeah,
it didn't have,
Well, no, they said it was devenomed, and 5 days after he got bit, he was hospitalized with 104 degree fever.
Oh, shit.
Because he was toxic from snake venom, and the snake died.
Oh, wow. When you watch the fucking video, you're like, oh, God damn, I don't know if I could fucking do that. I don't know how much money that is.
Yeah, no, that was fucking wicked.
I think when I was little, like Jake the Snake was like my favorite wrestler. Him and
great.
Fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw, you know? Yep. Hacksaw was fucking great.
Oh, fucking. Did they had a bunch of the '80s, like died. Early '90s, like great wrestling characters.
The Animal.
Animal, Bruce
George
the Barber.
The Animal Steel.
Yeah, Bruce the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Who was the guy that turned so all many. Pink? The fucking dude that would, Brother Love.
Brother Love.
Oh, that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Brother Love. Yeah, there's so many good, like, just.
His face was so pink.
They were wacky. They're just wacky.
Yeah. But there, you couldn't go too far, dude.
They're just fucking wacky.
Junkyard Dog.
He gets into a 3-month-long feud.
British Bulldog.
With Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, which at the time was much longer than they would ever let a feud go.
Yeah.
And they went.
And he wrote all that and he lost. Like, you know.
Yeah, he knew the business, you know. And he did all that stuff and he was fine, you know, taking the 1, 2, 3. Like this, that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point here is we're going to have this amazing match and we're both going to benefit.
The Dragon dude said in his interview, he said when he had him pinned or whatever, he said the crowd was like, rah, and went crazy. And he's like, we got him, Dragon. We got him.
Yeah.
Like he told him, like, we did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, like, in the middle of it. Yeah. Yeah.
And even like later in his career, like he when he went to ECW years later, and he was wrestling and doing stuff, and he, like, out of everybody there, because he was the immediate superstar at ECW, and he was like, I like this Diamond Dallas Page guy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to wrestle with him. I want a storyline with.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, you're sure? And he was like, yeah, he's really good. Like, he's the one I want to work with. And then, like, so he started doing a feud with DDP, and, like, I was watching Diamond Dallas Page, and he was talking in the interview, and he said, yeah, and we were backstage, and we were lacing up our boots, and I think it was Ole Anderson actually came back, and they were like, how are you going to finish? Like, what do you want to do tonight, Macho Man? And everybody was just like, it's your call. Like, right. We're not with Vince anymore. So what do you want, Macho Man? And he said he was just like staring down at his feet, and he looked up and said, I think I'm going to take the Diamond Cutter, which meant that DDP was going to win. And he was like, are you fucking serious? And they went out and he got the fucking win and popped. And that's what put him over. And but he knew, like, even at different points, he was like, no, this is the time I need to win a belt. This is the time I need to lose a belt so I can build up a story to come back at that guy at this pay-per-view.
Have you seen Diamond Dallas's yoga? Dude, that fucking one guy he fixes, holy shit. There was like a, it was like a paratrooper dude or something. Yeah. That guy went from like can't walk, all fucked up, overweight, to sprinting at the end of that fucking video.
Yeah. We do art modified part of it for like, that's what we do our stretches and it's part of his stuff. It's pretty good. Like it's like,
It's pretty good.
It's good stretching, like, you know, like full body stretch, you know?
Yeah. And he does like a lot, like on TikTok, he does like a lot of like affirmation kind of pause, you know, he seems like a pass. I don't know how I did it. I can't redo it. But yeah, so that was, the WrestleMania 3 thing. The whole Elizabeth thing started to be nothing but drama. So the storyline went on that she was just his manager. And once he finally teamed up with Hulk Hogan, as the Mega Powers, which at the time it was just like unbeatable. Like, so you've teamed up with Hulk Hogan, which means no one stands a chance.
Yeah. Right.
So Hulk Hogan and Macho Man are together. Like, they're the two number one draws. Like, so, but then it turned into stories of internal friction. And at one point there was a match that was somewhat famous where the whole, and it went out like it was supposed to. So the plan was Macho Man gets thrown out, lands on Elizabeth. Elizabeth gets knocked out. So does Macho Man. Hogan picks up Elizabeth and walks her into the back.
Yeah.
And then Macho Man gets up pissed off and then runs in back. They cut to commercial and then come back from commercial. They're arguing and then they get into a fight backstage.
Yeah.
So that was the plan. And that's what happens. He gets thrown out. He hits Elizabeth. Hogan picks up Elizabeth. And I guess he looked up and thought like Hogan was grabbing her boobs and thought like all this stuff. And then fucking got back there. And Hogan said like they were we were fully in the middle of an argument.
Right.
Like it went from
planned out to like
this wasn't scripted. Yeah. He was like the whole commercial break. I saw where
he touches Hogan's face during that part and Hogan like pushes his hand away. And you could see that Macho Man reacts like, jumps back in a weird way where he's like, he got a little bit scared for a second, like, oh, this shit's real.
Right.
You could just see the body language. And I was like, oh, everything looks changed, like he was actually maybe a little weird right there.
Yeah, he said that they were in the middle of a natural argument when the cameras cut back from commercial. And at that point, the argument is Macho Man saying, I would take you 1, 2, 3 any day. And like, fucking, like seriously saying this to Hogan. And they were pushing each other. And then they got in the fight that they were supposed to get into. And like, he and Hogan didn't talk for like 9 years.
Yeah. Well, the thing that finally kicked the Hogan and not talking for 9 years was that Elizabeth, during the height of like when Elizabeth and him get married for a show,
SummerSlam,
they're actually getting divorced. Like, they were having
in the real
trouble.
World,
in
their the real world, they're getting
divorced.
Apart.
Yeah. And so what happened was she left Savage and took off to Hogan's
wife. Out of she left the stadium.
Yeah. And she like left the stadium to stay early with Hogan's wife. But when Hogan came home, he's like, oh shit, I see Elizabeth's car outside. He asked his wife, hey, where's Elizabeth? She's like, I have no idea. And she wasn't there. She was supposed to stay at their house, but he said he didn't know she left Savage and all that shit, that she was just over there. He didn't know. He's like, in hindsight, I probably should have called him and said, hey, bro, like, your wife's over here. Like, her car's here.
I don't know.
But she's not sleeping here. I'm just letting you know that she hasn't been here. Yeah. So who knows where she's with Lex or someone at some point.
Yeah.
Probably. Who knows what was happening. And so he said he thought that Hogan was hiding shit from him and he didn't talk to him because of that.
Yeah.
Because he thought, who knows what's really going on? She hasn't been here for 3 days. She's at Hulk Hogan's house. Her car is there.
Then he released a sex tape.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, so they get married in fake land. And then within a couple of months after that, they actually got a divorce and he was super fucking wrecked by this divorce. He was super depressed. He said in interviews, like, I couldn't even wrestle. I knew I couldn't wrestle. Cause even with the animosity, like he would be pissed off at someone cause he thought they were fucking around with Miss Elizabeth, but he was still completely professional in the ring. He didn't try to give him nasty bumps. He didn't, it was like, as pissed as he was, he did exactly what he was supposed to do in the ring.
Yeah.
But he said he wasn't 100% and he couldn't wrestle.
Yeah, think how hard that'd be. She probably is friends with those dudes.
Yeah.
They're separate. Together they're all divorced. The day.
Yeah.
Which is why in the beginning he was trying to keep her.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's
absolutely.
You know, dudes are savage. Yeah. Like
I said, they're all on steroids. Yeah. Like they're just like fucking probably all fucking horny fucks, you know, running around trying to fuck everything.
Rogan was beautiful, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Rogan had the funniest thing about gay guys, like having sex. Cause he was like, think about how guys are. Like they're so aggressive. Like they just want to fuck. They don't give a fuck. There's no attachment sex. So when two gay guys get together, they're like that. Jesus Christ. They're going to tear each other apart. Like think about how like aggressive one dude is with two dudes get together and they just don't give a fuck about anything. Cause you have that type of sexual aggression, but both fucking ways.
But they're gay though.
It was like, funny. Like, Yeah, but
I guess there's some gay guys that aren't really like feminine. No, they're not feminine gays, you know? Yeah.
So he ends up going back, but he doesn't wrestle for quite a while. And Vince has him doing color commentary. So it's, which again was a classic era where it was Macho Man and Vince calling the matches.
Yeah.
I mean,
someone said that's a flavor you want in small doses. Yeah. You don't want two hours of, oh man, he's going to get him over.
That's like, true.
That's enough of that.
That's like, true. Yeah. But he did that for quite a while. And then, he was starting to go back and his, plan was like, there started to be the push in the early 90s, which led to the Attitude Era.
He didn't really want to do the commentary stuff either.
He didn't want to do the commentary stuff.
Vince was like, you're done. Kind of like that. You're done wrestling. And he was like, nah.
So he planned out and he pitched this idea to Vince, which I think this would have been amazing in whatever alternate reality it unfolded in. He wrote out a 3-year script of like a rise and fall that would end his career, and he would let the guy win at the end to give him his big bump, and it was the newbie Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Because he saw Shawn Michaels and he was like, that's the fucking guy.
That's the guy. Which, wants
he's
to take
right.
Over.
I mean, yeah. Shawn Michaels is, he's one of the best that ever was.
Yeah.
And he had this whole thing. He was like, we do this, we do this, we do this. And then at WrestleMania, whatever, he pins me, he wins. That's my retirement match. And then he gets the big push. And Vince was like, no, we've got other plans. We want younger wrestlers to be the complete focus, like Shawn Michaels. And that was right when ECW was starting, and he was like, fuck it. And he literally
was supposed to be on the fucking announcer thing, like color commentator. And they're like, where's he at? Where's he at? And then he said, oh, turn on the TV. And it was like them announcing, ECW. Like, here he is walking out. And they was like, okay, well, and then Vince was like, humble and was like, hey,
that was very surprising.
Yeah. He was like, we wish the best of luck and did this whole speech.
He helped build up this business and like something Vince would never do.
Yeah. Like, gave him like a very bizarre. Heartfelt, like farewell speech. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Cause I don't know much about it, but
that
I
might've been the, you ain't coming back here.
Yeah.
This is, you know what I mean? Like that might've been
nails in your coffin.
That might've been it.
Yeah. It might've been.
Yeah. Realize what you've done. You helped us. You built this. Yeah.
But also that might save face for Vince because he's just like, oh yeah, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Like
he doesn't, but he doesn't. Then again, he was still getting the crap down. But if it wasn't
like, well, we stole your guy. Like, you know, to combat that, you're like, hey, great luck. Like,
We got these younger new guys.
Yeah.
And truly they did. I mean, you had Shawn Michaels, you had Bret the Hitman Hart, you had Triple H. You had these guys. Like,
How tall is Triple H? That motherfucker.
He's like
6'4",
I think.
Yeah, I think he's 6'4".
He's a big motherfucker.
He's a fucking beast though, dude. So,
I hated that motherfucker. I called him the butler when he fucking,
It took Triple H a long time for me to like him.
Hunter
Hearst. It took a long
time. Once he got the NWO or what was it? No, not the NWO. When he was the Bad Boys, Generation X.
Yeah, Degeneration
X. Those guys.
And Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, they started doing fucking funny shit. Like,
it was so good, dude. So in May of 2003, they found Miss Elizabeth dead. From acute toxicity from booze and pain medication in Lex Luger's house.
Uh-oh.
Dude, Lex, when you see him in the interviews, I don't know how he's an incredible shrinking man. He was a massive dude.
Yeah, dude.
Show how buff he was.
Dude.
And he's just this little dude that looks like he probably like runs long distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not just that. Like, I mean, his frame.
Yeah.
Like, well, he
probably never had a big frame.
Like, he's wearing a medium fucking jacket probably. Yeah. Just in this
most
thing
of, like, look at bodybuilders. Like, their frame – isn't really that big.
Right.
They're just, it's fucking just all huge. That mass. Like if you look at their wrists and their ankles, yeah, they're real small.
He was just, you know what giant, I mean? Dude.
Yeah. That was even the thing they said about Macho Man, is like he wasn't anywhere near as big as the guys that he was,
yeah,
wrestling,
yeah,
but that he, you would never know it in a million years. And yeah, I didn't, but like when I would see him, it's and Hogan,
his personality, it's like, big, yeah,
you're like 7 inches shorter than Hogan.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like,
oh yeah, way smart.
Like, fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would wear those, and even,
and he was never wear those coats
with the long, yeah, but then he would also even hold sticks that made the arms like twice as long. So he would spin in the ring and have these, this crazy, so
looked
big,
like,
it's like, yeah, a peacock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great,
yeah, he was. I mean, yeah, technically, like that's the, he would show out, you know, but it, that's what it was. It was entertainment, you know, yeah, like he gave the people what they wanted, yep, you know, this larger than life character, larger than life visuals, you
right,
know?
Right. So he did ECW for years and was one of the big draws there. And then finally, when Vince McMahon bought ECW and like basically, the next week, ECW was merged with WWE, yeah, you know, and
I remember that because watching Rob, yeah, I remember go that. There,
yeah, 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 yeah.
I was like, what, and the there fuck was is like happening?
A certain, yeah, there was a certain, or no, not ECW, which happened as well,
yeah,
but WCW,
WCW, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he,
yeah,
bought WCW, he,
which that was strange too, because then he had, right, Flair over there. Yep. He had fucking, yeah.
And he was like, everybody who's big is coming back.
Kevin Nash,
except Macho, you know, Man.
Yeah.
Because apparently Vince was still pissed that Macho Man bailed on him.
Oh,
even
really
though
was.
Half the people there bailed on him.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think there was a much deeper beef
there
going
on there probably
between
was,
him,
yeah,
and Vince, because
that's
by all
I told
accounts,
you
would bring
that,
Macho Man.
That speech,
yeah,
was fucking like, you, yep, ain't coming back,
yeah,
fucker,
yeah,
like we wish you,
yep,
well.
Yep.
And I think that's really what it was. There probably was something else going on, who knows, yep, what happened behind closed doors,
yep, you know? So he still wrestled, you know, at smaller gigs and go to Japan and, you know, do what a lot of older wrestlers will do, but he never really signed another contract. He spent a lot of his time in charity. Like he did a lot of stuff with like Make-A-Wish and like some children's leukemia centers. Like there was a poor school in his town and he bought them a gym and would like go to the gym and show them how to work out. And like,
that's cool.
Like this documentary has like a news reporter who got to know him just because there were so many news events of him doing all this great, yeah, stuff for the community and doing everything. He tried to act for a little bit. He did some stuff on Baywatch. Oh, but then the big thing,
rap album.
We're still pre rap album getting there. But the Slim Jim thing was actually huge.
Right.
So he did the Slim, you know, snap into a Slim Jim. Like he got got that thing. And there was a really funny interview that I saw with the guy in charge of that ad campaign for Slim Jim. And they finally settled on Macho Man. And he was like, as they were doing their first take, he was supposed to like storm through this door and there's like fireworks that explode. And they were like, he tripped on the door because it wasn't set up right. So the door broke and he fell and like fireworks were exploding right on top of him. And the guy was like, holy shit, I'm going to have to find another guy. Like he's going to want nothing to do with this. And he said, and he just like stood up and dusted the broken door off of him and coughed up fireworks and was like, I think I can do that better. And was just like completely unfazed.
Right, because he needed the money.
Well, he needed the money, but it was like, I do this every Tuesday.
Yeah,
I just fell through a door and had to breathe in fireworks smoke. That's called my entrance.
Yeah.
You know, but Snap Into a Slim Jim was like a huge ad campaign, and it pushed him from just this fringe wrestling persona to like a
national.
Even
level,
if you didn't know he was a wrestler, you were seeing Snap Into a Slim Jim on MTV. Yeah, you were seeing it everywhere.
And the guy that was in charge of what is it, ECW, when he jumped ship, that's where he went.
WCW.
When he jumped ship to WCW, like whoever the Vince McMahon of that place was, said, he's like, he didn't cost me a dime because he brought
Bischoff, right?
Yeah, because he's like, he brought Slim Jim with him.
Right.
And so he said it didn't cost him anything to get
him. Yeah. But yeah, the Slim Jim thing was not nothing. Like, it really made him a huge superstar.
Household.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Cause you knew the Slim Jim guy. You might not even know his name.
But you know, yeah. Now you know who Macho Man is, yeah. Even if all you know is he's the Slim Jim.
I bet most people just think snap into a Slim Jim. Like, if you see that guy, like, probably. That's what they think. Like, yeah. They think Michael Jordan is the crying man.
Right.
Yeah. The kids.
The crying, yeah. Like the crying baby.
The crying meme. Yeah. 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 Which is hilarious.
Yeah. You have the whole legendary fucking career. You're the best basketball player of all times.
Yeah.
And that, but it just gets forgotten. It's a generational thing.
Yeah. So he did. He did a rap album in 2003 called Be a Man. That's got a couple of diss tracks against Hogan.
I saw 50 Cent had a little promo with, he's like, if you ain't got this, you don't know what music is. And I was like, dang, it's still there. Yeah. I think you could have sold something. And you got 50 Cent like holding it, yelling some shit on one of his videos.
It was, I can't say it was bad, and I can't say it was good.
It was bad.
It was Macho Man.
It's exactly what it was.
It was exactly what it was. It was, I didn't know what to expect, but when I listened to it, I was like, somehow this isn't what I expect, but this is exactly what I expect. Yeah. I don't know. It was a very strange concoction, you know, but so he wrestles his last match with TNA in 2004. And then in 2010, someone, I can't remember the exact story. He was doing something and someone recognized him and said, hey, I'm really good friends with Lynn Payne, who he dated in high school. He said, I'm really good friends with Lynn Payne. I know you guys used to date. If you're interested, I could like drive you over to her place and reintroduce you guys. And he was like, hell yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Like, that was like his, you know, high school sweetheart. Yeah. So they ended up driving to another city where she was an artist and had an art studio, and they met and were just instantly back in love and got married. And they said that like that last year of his life was like the happiest year. Like his mom, his brother, like everyone who knew him that were friends, they were like, he was a completely different person. He was so happy. And
we did skip Gorgeous George in the middle though. He didn't marry her, but he got with a stripper chick and he brought her into the company, and he had like some fucking contract signed where if she wasn't with him, then nothing would happen. All this stuff happened. But anyways, he got really weird and controlling and jealous at some point. And she was opening a closet. There was like a weird locked closet.
Gorgeous George was a wrestler.
Then it's not. Yeah, it's a girl wrestler. Someone
started. Gorgeous George.
Okay, so not Gorgeous George. Yeah. It's something George. It's a girl though. Hmm. And she became. It was a female wrestler.
Now I'm curious.
I remember
someone on the thing said Gorgeous George, so it's in my head because it says it on the live. But I can't think of what her name is. It's a blonde chick that was a stripper, and then she became a wrestler. And he was dating her. And it was when he started like dyed his hair black and got super fucking yoked and was wearing all black shit, like whatever that area was. But he got super controlling of her, and she was way younger than him. And she opened some closet at his house, like she was cleaning or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like six fucking video monitors that were cameras of her house. And he was watching everything at her fucking house.
Wow.
Yeah. What's her name? It's something George. It's like fucking Georgie something. I can't.
He was paranoid.
Unless I just have that in my head.
Gorgeous George is what it says here.
It's a girl. It was a blonde girl.
Oh yeah, Stephanie Ballers.
Yeah, that chick. And so she's a stripper. But she found a bunch of cameras and fucking said, take me home. That was that. And she quit. But when she left him, she was done. Like, she was out of the business. Like, she was wrestling and shit and like in the show and part of the thing. And as soon as she broke up with him, he fucking had it like written in contract or something, and she was out.
Weird. Yeah. So she took Gorgeous George's name. Gorgeous George.
Yeah, someone said that's her name for sure.
'60s. Yeah. So he was like an old school. He would have been, Gorgeous George would have been wrestling with like Macho Man's father, like back in that era. Because that's what I knew. I wonder if she was like his.
That was
daughter.
Right after his divorce. Yeah. He like got with her and started partying and doing crazy shit like ecstasy and coke and all that shit.
Right.
That's actually the girl that said she went to the house and dad gave the medicine. He was with that girl.
Oh, right.
Yeah, during that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I saw a couple of clips of them together in, you know, doing promos and stuff like that. But
I guess, and I don't know if this is a true story, but the way she met him was she was in a strip club or whatever. And some guy was like, hey, buy me a drink, and elbowed her. And she was all, you buy me a drink. And they started like going back and forth kind of rough. And the fucking security picked her up and tossed her out. And Randy Savage was standing there. And he's like, you okay, honey? And she's like, do you see what just happened? He's like, well, it probably wouldn't happen if you hadn't been beaten up on Evel Knievel. So I don't know. Like, apparently, like, Evel Knievel was in a strip club, and he told her to buy him a drink, and she started fucking fighting with him. She got thrown out, and then Randy Savage found her and said, here's my phone number and address or something. And then she fucking, like, went to his house or something. Like,
of course she did.
Yeah.
You're fucking macho, man. Come on.
Like, for that money.
Yeah. So, so in 2011, he had a heart attack while he was driving, and he crashed into a tree. He died from the heart attack, not the tree crash.
His high school sweetheart was in the car with him, and when he had a heart attack, he put his foot on the gas and just fucking went down.
Yeah.
And she's like, shit. And all she could do was, like, steer away from killing people.
Yeah.
And she probably saved some lives, but
for sure.
But she steered them into a tree on purpose to stop the fucking Jeep. Cause he was out and his foot was on the gas. So they slammed him to a tree and he died. And she was okay. Like, minor injuries.
I think she's passed away too.
Oh, did she? He was, I don't think I realized.
Maybe not.
I don't think I realized how big an impact he had. I mean, I know he was big and I remember his promos. I didn't realize how big an impact he had on wrestling. I didn't know how much he cemented WrestleMania. I didn't know how much he kind of foreshadowed the Attitude Era in the 90s where the people weren't necessarily good or evil. But you can only pull that off if you've just got next level charisma.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you've got to fall to being a heel or a baby face. But, like, he was the one to realize I'm charismatic enough to fall outside of those roles.
I wonder if he, when he calmed down that last year or so, like, was he, like, just talking normal? Like, was he, like,
probably he grew his beard out and was just gray.
Yeah. Like, he looked awesome. Like a actually, big, he looked like a little pirate or something. Yeah. He looked cool.
Yeah. He probably was. Yeah. But his brother said, who's extensively in that, the Macho Man documentary, the one that I watched was on Peacock.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one that I think was produced by WWE, which was,
maybe that's the one I watched.
I think that's the one you watched. I think it was done by the guys that do 30 for 30 on ESPN. But yeah, just super interesting character. So unique. Even if you don't like wrestling, just take a dip into the Macho Man pool and watch some of his promos, because holy fucking shit, they are so bizarre and they are so funny. And if you find ones with Mean Gene Okerlund, who's just like a bald guy in a tuxedo, and it's just the two of them talking to each other, they're just, some of them are so great. There's really good ones with him and Jesse the Body Ventura as well. Those are fucking great.
He's just a character.
Do you know that's RFK's pick for VP right now?
Yeah.
Him and
who's RFK?
The current Kennedy who's running for president.
Robert
F. JFK's nephew.
Fitzgerald Jr. Robert Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
You really don't even know who RFK is?
There's a different RFK. I don't know who you're talking about. I know. You've not
seen him and know that he's running for president? No. That's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, is that the guy that's on social media? He's got like a
crazy voice.
Yeah, he looks Asian.
No.
That guy? No?
I don't know who you're thinking
of. He talks like someone's doing this on his throat.
Oh, unless you're talking,
yeah. I, you might have been talking about, he's older. Were you talking about
Vivek?
Yeah, I know who that guy is. I didn't know that was RFK, though.
But that,
I know
that guy. That though. Or the football player. I can't think of the guy's. Aaron Rodgers or something?
Yeah, I think
so. That's his other pick. I was like, what the fuck?
You got to go with Jesse.
Yeah.
Well, he was already governor.
Yeah.
He's a wild one, though. I can't believe you picked him. He's got like UFO shows and shit about lizard people and shit.
He gives a shit.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. That RFK's gone off on some shit too.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, but he's an attorney that's like super well researched. Yeah. Like he knows what he's talking about on that shit. And it's probably real. I mean, the fucking government killed his uncle and his dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because he was talking about the
and they
the
won't give him Secret Service protection as a presidential candidate right now.
And potentially his brother or his cousin.
The one whose
plane went down mysteriously
off of
Florida. Yeah. That was either his brother or his Kennedy's cousin. I don't know. Yeah.
It fucking, it's been a weird few decades
for the Kennedys. But yeah, that's Macho Man. Check him out. If you don't like wrestling, check him out anyway, because he's fucking,
I mean, everybody likes some sort of wrestling, whether it's bed wrestling or mud wrestling, midget wrestling. Opposable thumb wrestling. Opposable dick thumb wrestling.
That's a rare,
regular wrestling. That's a
rare breed,
High school wrestling, whether you're a grown man and go to high school wrestling tournaments still. I know a guy.
I know a lot of guys.
Very strange.
Some of my friends do that didn't wrestle, and I wrestled, and I don't go.
Yeah, that's very weird.
That's very weird.
The guy I worked with, and he like goes and watches people's kids at wrestling tournaments. And
I mean,
it's even weirder. Like,
he's
he's
not married.
It's less
those
weird.
Those kids are badasses, though. Those kids are like up and coming UFC fighters and shit.
It's less weird if that's your alumni. If you went to that high school. Yeah. But like,
still
if but have you showed up as an adult with no kids and that wasn't even your school.
Yeah.
It's been years. It's been years, but I went to like a college wrestling tournament thing and it was fucking pretty crazy, dude. Like when they get to the final match and they're like, next up, like Joey Vasquez.
I'm not talking about that.
But hear me out. Like they're like 181-0.
Yeah.
Like the such and such champion, medal winner, this, that, pre-Olympic fucking blah, 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 181-0. Then they go, gonna like versus fucking Ted Varner at fucking 179-0, and they're both undefeated for their entire fucking career since they've been a fucking little kid. Someone's losing today in the next 6 minutes.
Check it out. Yeah. That's cool and all.
Yeah.
But I'm not going unmarried, 50 years old to go watch that.
No.
Just stab at your buddy. Yeah.
No. No, it's not. It's all right. Yeah. No. I'm just saying. It's
Now you're just not even your friend now.
No, I work with them.
Defriended.
Oh, okay.
It is weird.
It's very strange.
We are part of the Podbelly Podcast Network. You go to podbelly.com, check out cool podcasts like Super Garbage Day Podcast. His, forget about the podcast, start watching the YouTube channel. He's fucking got I think he got like 16,000 views in like the last 28 days or something. Oh, nice. Like he's fucking caught some fire. Like, Maddox was literally like bragging about, he's like, if that wasn't your friend, I wouldn't know that, you know, he means like, I was like, well, it's still good. He's like, I would just thought that was, I was like, it is a YouTuber. You just happen to know him. He's like, because it was like somehow discrediting it because it's my friend. Yeah. If I didn't know that was your friend,
that's
Brian,
like saying, I didn't know that was you guys. If I didn't know you, I wouldn't know your podcast.
Yeah, I'd be impressed by that. And if I was didn't like, think it was you, asshole.
I was like, forget it's my friend. It doesn't matter. It's my friend. He's a legit YouTuber. Doing like, he's doing a really good job at this. This is like, he's found his fucking, like, his niche. Yeah. Like, he's doing a really good job at it. And it's like caught fire. By the way, my son Maddox, thank you, Maddox. He bought me Super Mario 3 at the farmer's market this week. Yeah, he tried to buy me like a sealed in the box game. And I was telling Dave before you got here, I was like, no, don't buy me a game in the box because I don't want the responsibility of it keeping that status of it being in the box. If you get me something, give me something with some scratches on it, bro. Like, you know, I don't want the mint condition thing because I don't want it to be set aside. I want it to go in the stack of video games I have, just one I don't have. So he came walking up with Mario 3.
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
I didn't have. Someone has Beetlejuice on Facebook right now.
I know that. Yeah. You can find it. It's not impossible. You can go on eBay and buy it.
Yeah.
But finding it.
Yeah.
A whole other fucking thing. I haven't been able to find it.
There was one on Facebook. I forgot to tell you.
I know, but like physically, where is it at?
It was on Facebook in Bakersfield.
That's a computer.
Yeah. Now you can go, though. You got your account back, bro.
I don't need it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
In all his glory.
Looks like a YouTuber.
No, he's doing a great job. They're super well produced. Like, it's great.
Looks like
if he wasn't my friend, I didn't know any better. I think he was a YouTuber. Bag. So, but check out Super Garbage Day and the podcast.
Pretty soon he's going to be able to afford us that bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. Finally get that back. So check out them. Check out Robots for Eyes podcast. There's lots of good stuff over there at podbelly.com. Also, thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That is our primary sponsor. You can find it at most major grocery stores, Walmart, Target, Smart and Final has it, mexgrocer.co.uk if you're outside the United States. I saw old South Africa got it just from Amazon. And somehow they shipped it now.
Nice.
I was like, oh, wow, let's get some Amazon to ship. So you might just be able to get it. You probably have to pay some crazy, like, import.
Tariff.
Yeah, some tariff, import fees or something.
But I don't know, because they have distribution over in that area now. You know what I mean? Like, in that vicinity.
Yeah.
So there might be some way that they stock it, you know? Like, it might not have
gonna stock
crazy.
It, don't rock it. Gonna stock it, don't rock.
Nice job, guys. So check that out. El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
That's the best part of the show right there. That show is dope.
Congratulations.
That's how you improv.
To the Hot Sack winner this week, which was...
Julian from Reddit.
Julian from Reddit.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
And to Nicole for securing XXX from abroad, because that was hard. Like, it was that or I was going to have to ship
What was the broad's name? Bada bing!
So no $400 shipment. You just got it on Amazon. That works.
That's nice.
Also, Print Dirt Cheap. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You get stickers and or printed goods at printdirtcheap.com. And if you need a banner, you can get it from 2daybanners. That's the number 2daybanners.com. If you're at a farmer's market or you got a soccer kid or something, if you need a banner, you can get it in as little as 48 hours. If you have procrastinated, fear not. They can get it for you.
What if I didn't need it for like 17 days? I still order it from them?
And wait till day 15 and click checkout?
No, could I order it right now?
You could order it right now.
I don't need it in 2 days.
You'll just have it early.
Okay.
Yeah, just don't open the box until it's time.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Also check out Mind Frame Podcast. It's across all listening platforms. Check out Jimmy D's Tees. I feel like I'm forgetting something. 2 day banners. No, did it all.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I got actually.
That's it.
I abruptly quit it like that.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Go on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast. Maybe you can find Julian.
Yeah.
He's on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
She's on Reddit.
They, them.
Julian. That could be a girl.
The she it. Yeah.
I saw a funny a little clip, like an Instagram clip, where a young girl with very short blue hair was trying to do a kickflip and got popsicled, like landed right on the skateboard, and the comments were just hilarious. It was like, ooh, right in the they thems. Like, she identifies as injured. There's so many funny fucking comments.
There's some
dude.
Fucking great stuff.
People are fucking hilarious, dude.
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are at Sof King Podcast. Plus, Instagrams, I'm at Rizzi the Wolf. So you have Sof King Brent, Sof King Dave.
Jesus, that was strange.
I don't know what's happening. I'm tired. I gotta go to bed. So be a retard.